From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from God's Word, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As the Lord Jesus Christ approached the hour of His crucifixion, He took time to prepare His disciples for the time when He would no longer be with them physically. In several passages in the Gospel of John, we find Christ telling His sorrowing disciples that when He returned to heaven, He would send them a Comforter, referring to the Holy Spirit. In a message entitled, The Comforter, Dr. Cairns will explain the various ministries of the Holy Spirit to the people of God. Before Dr. Cairns comes to the Word of God, here is the Reverend Colin Mercer, the new senior minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church. Today, Mr. Mercer reports on an example of how apostate church leaders seek to pervert the Word of God, reporting on the Archbishop of Canterbury's declaration that hell is simply being alone forever.
Dr. Ryan Williams is the Archbishop of Canterbury, the highest position within the Episcopal Church of England. In a recent interview for UK television Channel 4, he was asked about God, faith, and life after death. In one part of the interview, filmmaker Anthony Thomas asked about what happens to the soul after death. The Archbishop replied, "All we really know about the afterlife is that God has promised to be there." When pressed further and asked if hell exists and what it is like, the Archbishop said, "My concept of hell, I suppose, is being stuck with myself forever and with no way out." He added, "Whether anybody ever gets to that point, I have no idea. But that it's possible to be stuck with my selfish little ego for all eternity, that's what I would regard as hell." The questioner didn't drop the issue there, but went on to say that the Archbishop's view does not sound like the biblical image of the damned being tortured in lakes of fire. Dr. Williams replied to that comment that being alone forever is torment enough if you think about it. To those who have observed Dr. Williams in the past, these comments come as no real surprise. He has often been reported as questioning the teaching of the Word of God. Therefore, his recent outbursts on hell are not surprising. How far things have moved from the days of Thomas Cranmer, the great Protestant Archbishop of Canterbury. Cranmer believed in hell, not merely as a place of isolation where one is stuck by himself. Cranmer believed the biblical doctrine of hell. In one sermon preached in the 1500s, he had this to say, "They know that God hateth unrighteousness, that he will destroy all those that speak unruly, that those which have done good works, which cannot be done without a lively faith in Christ, shall come forth into the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil shall come unto the resurrection of judgment. Very well they know also that to them that be contentious, and to them that will not be obedient unto the truth, but will obey unrighteousness, shall come indignation, wrath, and affliction." Quite a quote. But the question is not what does Thomas Cranmer say. The words of the present-day Archbishop must be weighed in the balance of Scripture. Remember what Isaiah said, Isaiah 8 and 20, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." So what are the Scriptures? What do the Scriptures teach concerning hell? Four solemn things. First of all, hell is a real place. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke more of hell than he did of heaven. And in Matthew 10, verse 28, he said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is not a figment of the imagination. It is a real location. Hell is real. It is not imaginary. It is a real place. Secondly, hell is a place of conscious torment. One of the clearest passages in Scripture relating to this subject is found in Luke 16. Three times in that chapter, reference is made to the rich man in hell. Listen to these words. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. The rich man was not annihilated. He did not go into a state of soul sleep. He was in agony and conscious of it. He felt his torment. In verse 23, we have the comment of the Holy Spirit. In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. In verse 24, the rich man himself says, I am tormented in this flame. In verse 25, Abraham says, now he is comforted and thou art tormented. The rich man was conscious of his torment. Thirdly, hell is forever. The sufferings of hell are unceasing. Hell is as eternal as heaven. There is no reprieve, no release, no return. There is a great gulf fixed in regard to distance and regard to duration. Hell is forever. Fourthly, hell is populated with those who die in their sins, rejecting Christ. Hell is a place for those who refuse the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who obey not the gospel of the Savior. Let me summarize this. Hell is a place of unquenchable fire, where with body and soul united, the ungodly endure conscious suffering without any lessening of its torment. That is the biblical doctrine of hell. I would rather believe the teaching of Scripture than the comments of Dr. Ryan Williams. Make sure you flee to Christ for salvation, and thus away from the wrath of God.
God could ever save me, not
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life, theology, and the far-reaching influence of the great reformer John Calvin. Three leading Christian scholars provide helpful insights into the work of this much misunderstood spiritual giant as part of the observance of the 500th anniversary of Calvin's birth. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on the Reverend Cecil Maneri. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the Czech Republic. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, what is the best way to study the Bible? Is baptism essential for salvation? Or, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
we want to do some Bible reading now, turning to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. Reading three verses here, then into 15, where we read one verse, and then into chapter 16, where we read five further verses. John 14, verses 16, 17, and 26. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Chapter 15 and verse 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." And finally, chapter 16 of John, and verses 7 to 11. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to these verses from his own precious word for his name's sake. The Lord never removes one blessing, but that he gives us another, either in its place or ultimately in addition to the first. In the passages we have been reading from God's word, we discover that the disciples of Christ were very, very deeply despondent. The idea that their Lord and Savior would be taken away from them had never once entered their minds, and it was therefore only with the very greatest reluctance that they came to accept the word of the Savior that indeed he must die. And upon receiving that word, we read that sorrow filled their hearts. All their hopes appeared to them to lie crushed in the dust, and they were overcome with the greatest darkness and despair. It was this sense of hopelessness, this sense of utter loss, that the Lord Jesus set out to remove in his last discourse to the disciples before going to the cross. And he offered them many comforts. It's very interesting to read this discourse in that light. I would recommend it to you for your study. It was his purpose that he would not leave them comfortless or leave them as orphans in the world. You will discover that he left them not without a promise. He did not leave them without a rule of life. He did not leave them without a revelation of the Father. There are many things that he left with them for their comfort. But preeminent among all the comforts that the Savior gave to his sorrowing disciples was the promise of another Comforter, even God the Holy Ghost. To the disciples, the departure of Christ seemed like a total and unmitigated disaster. And we have got to say that we can well understand their thinking. After 3.5 years of walking daily in the Savior's presence, hearing his word, seeing his work, It seemed to them a disaster that now he should be taken from them. What could they, without Christ, possibly do now? How could they personally ever overcome such loss? They had staked everything on the truth that Christ Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah. They had lost everything as to their position and their acceptability in the Jewish nation. They had given up everything for him. How could they ever then make good the loss when Christ was taken from them? But you know, the disciples discovered something that you and I need to discover. It's very hard for us to take it in. It's easy to say, but it's one of those things that can come glibly to the lips. But when you're in the actual valley of trouble, it's difficult to feel it in your heart. The disciples came to learn that there are no disasters with God. There are no disasters to the people who are walking in the will of God. Now, at times it appears that there are such disasters. We feel them. But they found, truly, there are no such things as disasters with God. So the Lord Jesus said to them in John 16 and 7, I tell you the truth, it is expedient. The word expedient simply means profitable. It is expedient for you. It's good for you. It's profitable to you that I go away. What a statement. The Lord Jesus says to them, far from losing out, when I die and am removed from you, you will gain by my going. And so they did. You see, while Christ was on earth, the disciples had with them an ever-present paraclete, one who was always by their side as their advocate. Now that he went to heaven, they could see the result. Christ was still their paraclete, only now he was at the right hand of God. And then in addition to that, the Holy Spirit was their paraclete on earth. So far from losing, they actually came to gain. Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him, that is the Comforter, unto you. Now it's to this ministry of the Holy Spirit as the Comforter that we want to turn this morning as we continue with the studies in the person and work of the Holy Ghost. He's called in our text the Comforter. The word is a paraclete, and you can see even as it's pronounced that it's basically two words with a very simple meaning. I say a simple meaning despite the fact that there's been a lot of very learned discussion over the meaning of the word. Simply, however, it means one who is called alongside of another, especially as a comforter, as an advocate, and as a helper. This is the peculiar ministry of God the Holy Spirit. He is the paraclete. He is the one who is called alongside of the child of God as his comforter, as his helper, as his advocate with God, and his advocate before men. So today I want us to think of the four works of the Holy Ghost as our paraclete. Now the very first thing that we have noted, and we'll set it out again, is that the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, is the Christian's comforter. Actually, there are quite a few scholars who deny that the word in the Greek means comforter at all. And they use, I had to look again, they love to use big words. And on what they call summasiological grounds. That sounds impressive, doesn't it? You couldn't be impressed with that, you're dumb, deaf, and blind. Well, I have to say, on those grounds they tell us the word cannot meet mean comforter. Having said that, I'm not greatly impressed by all their argument. The word semasiological simply means that these are grounds based on the history of the development of the word's meaning. Well, that's very interesting. But when you get into the scripture, you find that the Holy Spirit is the comforter, no matter what the scholars say. He is the comforter.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.